Damaged Goods Podcast.
Stop. Enough already. Please. Please stop. But the monster of Hollywood is relentless. It don't stop. Especially if something's working. AKA making money. Bringing in that revenue, that dollar. But it just doesn't stop. The rollout continues and gets worse and worse, bigger and bigger, more disappointing and more disappointing. The Snake Man is speaking, of course, about musician biopics or biopics, depending how you want to fucking say the word, because nobody seems to know. I think it's biopics or biopics. I don't know what it is. But on Damaged Goods today, you're going to hear me gripe, rant, discuss, and dismiss and praise a few music biopics or biopics of various musicians. Because, goddamn, there's a lot right now. They've been around for decades, but not at this rate. You know, every couple years there'd be one, and it'd be maybe warranted. You know, the artist is passed away, or they had a very significant legacy or whatever. Now it's just like do. And if you can't tell by my tone, I don't like a lot of them, or most of them, or at least the ones just rolling off the goddamn Ford assembly line as of late. But we're gonna go back, trace some good ones, trace some ones, and talk about some on the way. And you could, you know, whatever. This is art. It's subjective. It's your opinion. This isn't fucking basketball. We're not talking about who got the most three-pointers. It ain't baseball, who's got the best ERA. This is, you know, up for interpretation. I mean, obviously, you could look at box office numbers and awards, but fuck all that shit. But goddamn, there's a lot. You know, there's the, you know, Timothée Chalamet, who's on fire right now. He's got the Bob Dylan biopic. And they've done a few Bob Dylan documentaries, and they had the one where various actors and actresses like Cate Blanchett, Christian Bale, and some others played him, but it wasn't very straightforward. It wasn't like a linear story, but you got the Chalamet one coming out, and he wants to bring back the dude Austin Butler, who just played Elvis in the Elvis biopic, which I would not or did not see. And apparently that dude, who's also in a few other flicks right now, the Bike Rider's coming out. Is he the Dune guy? Is he the one in Dune that's like the weird bald bad guy? Maybe. Either way, he claims that he has Elvis voice still. He hasn't been able to shake the Elvis voice he did in the movie, which is wild. Dana Carvey, when he used to do Garth for Wayne and Garth, he, not that he couldn't shake the voice, but he couldn't shake the facial structure he had to do the voice. But yeah, goddamn, they're just coming out now. But let's take it back. I don't know what the first one was, but an early one was Amadeus about Mozart. It was in 1984. It starred F. Murray Abraham's ugly ass as Amadeus, and he won an Oscar for Best Actor. You might know F. Murray Abraham as Omar Suarez in Scarface. He was the one that fucking Sosa hung from the helicopter. Or Michael Imperioli's father in the White Lotus season 2. He won this Oscar early on and wasn't in a lot of shit that you might know or that got a lot of high praise, but got a fucking Oscar. Played fucking Amadeus. Okay. You had La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips in 1987. And this is early. This is before an onslaught of biopics or biopics. And that was a well-received one. You had the masterful Gary Oldman, an incredible talent, in Sid Nancy in 86, playing Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols. And it wasn't all about his life or the career. It was about him and his girlfriend Nancy's chaotic relationship and murder, death, suicide kind of thing. So I like the flicks that don't try to encapsulate a person's whole life, a whole career in 2 hours. Maybe you take a part of it or like a certain significant element of their life, or a certain arc, if you will. But trying to squeeze that whole shit in, very ambitious, could be very trite, very, I don't know, Hollywood, if you will. In 2007, Control. It was a good flick. It's about the Joy Division, New Order frontman, Ian Curtis. Black and white, a very indie flick. Talked about the band's, you know, kind of on their way to fame or what have you, in the early fame, but really more about his issues that he struggled with mental health-wise, which, you know, spoiler alert, not that I'm spoiling shit because this is real life, this is fucking out there, to his eventual suicide. But that's a good one. That's a good one. Also good one, Walk the Line. Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash. Also before the onslaught. And he was nominated for an Oscar. And what's her name? Reese Witherspoon. I forget the singer who she played, but I think she won an Oscar. And that was a good one. And that did kind of do the linear whole life, whole career of the artist. But it worked so well. They did the Dewey Cox, John C. Reilly kind of spoof on that, and other biopics at the time. And that was actually kind of great and hilarious as well. But then you have Love and Mercy, about the great Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. And that was a very interesting one. We're starting off with the good ones. The good ones, the well-done ones. This had John Cusack, who generally I don't think is a great actor, played Brian Wilson, who, you know, suffered from also some mental health issues, but kind of a genius behind their seminal album Pet Sounds, as well as other shit. But he had the vision for that. But he plays Wilson in his older, or, you know, middle-aged years. And then Paul Dano plays him as the younger version. Both great. And the flick was great. I don't want a Beach Boys fucking movie. And it makes you appreciate Brian Wilson a lot more in his genius. I don't know, 2016, 17, maybe 18. I was in Chicago on tour for some band, but we had a day off and Pitchfork Festival was going on. My boy, shout out to my boy Noah Skills. He always has the Pitchfork hookup for, you know, backstage passes. Gets me one, we go. Brian Wilson is on the bill, which is wild if you look at who else is on the bill. But he's doing the Pet Sounds album. So we got to watch Brian Wilson do Pet Sounds side stage, which was cool, but a little disappointing because he was, you know, mentally speaking, his cognitive function was not at the highest level, and he was not at his greatest. I mean, he was playing the keys, but missing a lot of the lyrics, or just kind of not trying to sing them with other people kind of fill it in, the background singers. So it was good, but it was sad just to see him at the state he's in. Not that he wasn't a good performer or a musician, but just where he was, you know, in his line of health. 2004, Jamie Foxx wins the Oscar for Ray, playing Ray Charles. And he did a fantastic job. He, I guess he was, you know, continuously going around blind off screen to just stay in that role, but he won the Oscar. Hollywood sees that also. Ooh, this is go time. We gotta keep pushing. So those are the flicks that give him a green light to just let's roll out more. And Ray was good, but you're gonna see a lot of crap roll out because of that. Where maybe we don't gotta try as hard. The production value don't gotta be as high. The writing doesn't have to be as well done. The acting could be whatevs. If you want to go back to the early 90s, 1993, you had What's Love Got to Do with It, the Tina Turner flick. Angela Bassett crushed it. Fishburne, as Ike Turner did as well. That was a fire flick. But that was at a period where there were actually a lot of biopics, but not about musicians, maybe more political or historical figures at the time. But that's a great one. In 97, J-Lo caught a lot of wreck for Selena. You know, she was acting already, transitioned from being a fly girl on In Living Color, but she got a lot of love for Selena. Not to say that she's the greatest actress or that her performance was incredible, but Selena had a very strong fan base, and maybe the fans just loved it so much that she got a lot of love for that, but it certainly helped propel her acting career going on and on. If we speed up to 2014, you get the James Brown flick, which is sadly forgettable. And James Brown is not just an incredible musician, but an interesting dude. He had an interesting life. And the movie kind of came and went. I saw it, but I didn't see it because I wasn't paying attention the whole time. And I really couldn't tell you much about it. And I feel like it just kind of got swept under the rug because it wasn't given the right attention, the right production, and was just treated like another Hollywood moneymaker. Now, 2013, there's a Jimi Hendrix flick that stars, Andre 3000 from Outkast. It's called All By My Side, and it's a great flick, and Andre kills it. It's not ambitious. It tackles the 1 year in Hendrix's life right before he really blew up. So it's not about his whole life, his whole career. It's just that 1 year leading up to his big stardom. And very well done. Andre was great. The Hendrix estate would not allow the film to use any original Hendrix songs. So all the Jimmy music in there is covers he's done of others, which he did a lot of. And some of his bigger quote-unquote hits were covers of others, which is unfortunate. They wouldn't. I'm not sure why they would not let them use the shit, but that's a good one. 2015, Straight Outta Compton, NWA flick. Entertaining. It was entertaining. I know certain things are omitted, especially if an artist is involved with the production of the film, you gotta take it with a grain of salt because they're not gonna let everything fly on screen. Anything that's maybe a little shady or less admirable about their life, and a lot of great artists have these qualities or these elements in their life, that's not gonna end up in the flick if they're involved with the production. That's why I think it's good to wait, not to be, you know, morbid, but till they're past, so you can have an honest portrayal. But it did very good box office wise. The reception was well, but you know, the Dre storylines, they're not going to show him getting all handsy with certain chicks, you know, running upside their head and other elements. But it was a decent flick, you know. Notorious, 2009, Biggie. Good God, I never saw it. Could not bring myself to see it. I just have to imagine it was trash. And I think it was. I don't think it was well received. And it's when it's like an artist that you love that left a great legacy, at least for me, I feel like, did they dilute their legacy? Does it get a little tainted or ruined because this flick just doesn't do justice? That's how I felt with that. And I didn't even see it, but just, come on, man, look at the shit, look at the trailer, look at the fucking, whatever, crap. And then if you want to go to the Tupac side of things, 2017, All Eyes on Me, Pac, one of my favorites. I could not bring myself to watch that at all, because I think my standards would be so high for a representation of him on a silver screen, and that also was not received well, didn't look great, and yeah. Skip over that shit. I did, at least. Fuck all that. 2018, the Bohemian Rhapsody flick. Rami Malek plays fucking Freddie Mercury. All this like Oscar praise and box office praise. So, okay. I love Queen. I love their shit. I've read a lot of their books about them. But I was initially excited about this flick. Originally, Sacha Baron Cohen. Borat. Yeah, Borat. Nice. He was going to play Freddie Mercury. I guess he had an affinity for the dude, knew a lot about his life, and it was going to be an ill flick. I thought so. The band, the rest of the band that's still alive, because Freddie Mercury, you know, spoiler alert, is passed away. Brian Murray and the rest of them, they didn't want that, and somehow they pulled control away from it. So Sacha Baron Cohen would not be behind it because they wanted the film to be, I guess, a little more about Queen and not about Freddie Mercury, but also maybe not to cover some of the more colorful or eccentric, wild, crazy elements of his life. I'm on a flight to, I don't know the fuck where, but, you know, on a plane, you'll watch whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll throw this Bohemian Rhapsody on. I think I got 15, 20 minutes max, and I had to turn it off. It was crap. it was just straight Hollywood bubblegum bullshit served on a platter, where the real story, which I was hoping that Sacha Baron Cohen would capture, would have been a little more in depth, had some layers. I mean, this dude was wild. He would throw like crazy parties with, this is what you could read about in books and what has been told. Like, you know, he'd have little people, kind of being like the butlers of the party, if you will, walking around with hats that were like plates with like cocaine on the head of them on the plate, on some wild shit. And you know, just like crazy sex orgies and boozing and wild shit. And I guess the band didn't want that in there. They wanted more of the band, but the movie really is still kind of very Freddie Mercury centric. So it didn't seem like they got their whole band showing in there the way they wanted, but I guess they avoided the other shit. I don't know. I mean, Rocket Man, 2019, Elton John. And I fucks with Elton John. I love Elton John. He's still alive. Can we let these people pass? I'm not saying I want any of these guys to pass away, but like, let's let their legacy kind of get cemented. But yeah, that comes out. Didn't see it. And I fuck with Elton John. I got pics of my like little infant ass sitting on his lap when he was down in Montserrat hanging with my folks. The Marley flick, the One Love flick, gotta be fucking kidding me. Maybe one of my, if not my favorite music artist of all time. I could never bring myself to watch it because I've read extensively, I've heard a million stories in folklore extensively about him, especially growing up in the West Indies and Nevis. I could not see that flick thinking they could put it all in there. Maybe it's good, whatever. I'm not shitting on the acting or the directing, but I just could never bring myself to watch it. They got the Amy Winehouse flick coming out. Are you kidding me? I saw a little clip of whoever the actress is singing. Good God. Shit, that's not her strong suit. She ain't a musician in the sense of like being in musicals. It was butchery. If I was anybody in her family or friends, or, you know, her estate, I would be pretty tight. I'm sure they're getting money off it, but good God, you don't want anything that comes out to misrepresent or poorly represent these people, these legends, these icons, this fucking Winehouse, good God. And I think it has already kind of came and went. I don't know. The Marley shit ended up quick on streaming, for at least for renting and viewing pretty fast after it hit theaters. So yeah, the Elvis flick, I don't fuck with Elvis ever. I would never watch it. They did drop, what's her name? Fucking Sofia Coppola did a flick about Priscilla Presley, I guess kind of her relationship with Elvis and the fact that, you know, he was a kind of a creep and she's young and underage. And that flick came out. I would see that. That sounds interesting, but I did not. But the regular Elvis flick, fuck out of here, dude. I love Dylan. I went through a huge Dylan phase where I was reading books about him and saw the other documentaries and the flick I was referencing earlier. Chalamet's a good actor. Maybe I'll catch that one, but I just hope it's not too polished. And they got a Bruce Springsteen flick, a Boss flick. And I'm not the hugest Springsteen fan. He got some hits, whatever, but it's the dude from The Bear, the main guy from The Bear who's like fucking everybody's little darling. And maybe they look alike, I don't know, but I don't really want to see a flick of The Boss. And he's also still alive, dude. Can we let these motherfuckers live and then have their life? And when it's over, yeah, let's show some love, have a pic about him or whatever. But it's just an onslaught. It's one after another after another. And I just feel like Hollywood, they see a little money getting made. They just say, okay, that's the blueprint. That's the template that works. Let's just fucking hone in on that. Take that piece of fruit, squeeze all the juice out till it's done. Throw the fucking peel of the rind away. And yeah, and then we can go somewhere else. So there's a lot of crap out there and I'm sick of it. What do you guys think? Do you like some of these? Maybe you dig them. Maybe you like them because they're pushed down your throat or they're just right there. And the good ones are a little more esoteric, a little more indie, a little harder to find. Like the All By My Side Jimmy one or the Control shit about the Joy Division dude, Ian Curtis. Those are a little more cutty, or some of the flicks are a little older. But check those out. See how those measure up to these bullshit ones that keep rolling the fuck out, dude. You know, they're going to have a goddamn Beyonce one probably next year, or who knows what the fuck, you know? fucking a Drake one. Christ, shoot me in the fucking head right now. I just can't stand it because it just has that Hollywood bullshit fucking presentation, that bubblegum pop shit written all over its face. I could just see right away when I watch a trailer, the Snake Man's gut is pretty good. My instincts are pretty good for flicks. And I'm not being a hater, but this is technically my, I'm a professional, at least when it comes to film criticism. If you get paid to do some shit, they say you're a professional. I get paid to write film reviews. I'm not trying to be super snobby, but even before that, I always kind of felt like my gut was good. I could watch a trailer and 8 to 9 times out of 10, I could be right about, now this is crap, or this is going to be good. And these shits just look like crap, dude, right off the assembly line. Boom, boom, boom. Bullshit. I'm sick of it. Hollywood, chill. Pump the fucking brakes, dude. The Wu-Tang show was fun because I love Wu-Tang. And it got me nostalgic to go back and listen to shit. Had cool aspects to it. I know not all of the shit was 100% accurate and real. They threw some shit in there. But there was some horrible, horrible parts to it. But it was still fun. But it wasn't in the movie form. In the TV form, maybe you could get away with it a little easier. You could kind of show the arc of the career, the life better because you have more time to play with. But let's just slow the fuck down. That Amy Winehouse shit, fucking what disrespect. What utter disrespect. The Marley shit, good God, dude. And I love Marley, but fuck. There's a few great docs. Watch the good docs. Watch the other shit. Go back, check the other shit. If you want to get your hate on, you want to get angry, go ahead. Go see the fucking, the Elvis shit or go watch Rocket Man or any of these bullshit craps. But try to watch the cool, the good ones. You know what I'm saying? Tell me what you think. Maybe I'm just a bitter ass old hater. Who knows, dude? You know, Snake Man could be that. But follow me on the interwebs on Instagram at Damaged Goods Podcast, at Jake Frazek, JakeFrazek on X or Twitter, depending on where you go with it, whatever you call it, at JTheS, JTHES. Check out the books Quicksand and The Waiting Room. They are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, fucking anywhere books are sold. Audio, physical, fucking Kindles if you enjoy that thing. Rate the shit, review the shit. I appreciate it. I love it. Go see these shitty flicks, dude. Go waste a couple hours of your life, dude. And hit me up afterward and be like, damn, Snake Man, you were right. Because, yes, I was fucking right.